This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 203 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So before we get to the read along, do we have any announcements?
I don't. What do you got?
Not necessarily a new announcement, but maybe an announcement or something that goes into more depth or elaborates on something we've announced before or shared before.
What might that be?
Today, I've been trying to share the daily Comic-Con tips from the Toucan blog. And today was like tip 11. I don't know if I've done every day, but whatever. I saw today's tip and I don't even think I went. Now, maybe I did click on it because it said something about the San Diego Public Library. And I thought, because normally I just share the tip if I share it. And I looked at it and I didn't see much. I just thought, they're talking about teachers and different things. Well, whatever, you know, that'll help somebody. So I shared it. And then something made me go back and look again, and I scrolled to the very bottom, and our panel was announced. We thought it was going to be in the full announcement of the full schedule, but they punked us. So we are extremely excited to share that our Outlander, the first Outlander fan panel called Outlandish Confabulation, an Outlander fan panel with myself, Summer of the Outlander podcast, Sarah of Outlander TV News, and Mandy from Great Scott Blog, is going to be Saturday at the San Diego Public Library from 12 to 1. So that was pretty big for us because we've been, you know, it's been bubbling. We've been very excited. So, Summer, are you excited for the panel?
Nope.
Are you nervous for the panel?
Always.
Or are you just not thinking about it?
I'm trying not to. I have so much other stuff going on right now that I can't. I got to take it week by week, sometimes day by day.
You just said you read my mind. So am I nervous? It's too early to get nervous. I mean, technically, it's never too early to get nervous if you have anxiety or something, which I'm sure sometimes I do. But I, other than being as prepared as we can be, there's like Summer said, there's so much coming up for, and not just us, many people. It's summertime. Some people have kids. Some people have a kid. I mean, so much is coming up that, yes, it's on my list of things to worry about.
but it's pretty low down the totem
right
now.
When I get there, exactly. Once I get to maybe the winter, no, that's too late. Maybe a week before, then I'll start to be nervous about it. Because right now, it's I will bar the worry. Right now, I have to worry about other stuff going on. And Summer has her own things, so I'm not borrowing trouble or worry any earlier than I must. So that's our big announcement, or more of an elaboration on an earlier announcement. Is there anything else you think?
The only thing I have is that, you know, this was the first week that the UK has had Outlander. So that was pretty exciting to watch Twitter explode, right?
Oh, girl, that was amazing. It did. I'm so happy that it's in the UK. And I hope if we have, I mean, this is a little bit, if you are a new viewer or reader, whichever, from the UK, and you're listening to us, first of all, welcome. Welcome to every single new listener and old listener. We like everybody. We welcome everyone. But it's pretty special to finally have this show be seen on terrestrial television in the UK. On More4, right? So, yeah, it's incredible. And the only reason I hesitated about welcoming new people who may have seen it first on...
They're not going to start on this episode.
Well, exactly. They might Yeah. No, they might go back to episode... And I looked it up so I would know. They might go back to episode 50, which is outlanderpod.com/50. They might go back to 50 because that is where we do our discussion of Outlander Season 1, Episode 101, Sassenach. That's, and then from there on out, you can find the next ones. But yeah, it's just a whole new, your family's getting bigger and you're not just having, or somebody in your family is not just having one baby, but potentially a quadrillion. And I'm so excited. It's a lot. That's a lot of birth and pains. So I'm so excited. Congratulations, UK. Even if we don't get one new listener from that, thing, which I think is not the case. I think we'll at least get a few, but we're not counting. We're not doing any kind of like, you know, polls, but we just are so excited that the Scotland, well, the UK period, gets Outlander on television. We're so excited. And if you know someone who has just started it, whether they get it on Amazon or through the, or through More on Four, however that, I probably got that wrong. Please share our show with us. No, we know what it is. Share our show with them.
Share it with me. I can never find it.
Anyway, yes, please share. And even if you don't know anyone new who discovered it on More on Four or More Four, whatever that is, the channel that I just butchered like three times, share it with a friend here or there or whatever your country is. We just share it. We love to welcome new people. And speaking of sharing, I'd like to give a little plug because sometimes we do this and sometimes we don't. Let's give a little plug for our upcoming trips. I mean, we got a ways to go, but something else this summer, again, not borrowing trouble, not borrowing worry, just a little word in there because we are getting close to being not quite sold out, but getting up there to our tour number two for Pod Abroad. And what that is Summer and I, the Outlander podcast, are meeting a number of Outlander fans in Scotland in May of 2018 to take two amazing trips, two amazing Outlander-themed trips. And our second tour is tour number two. Is just, I think it hit 75%. It's 75%, either like 73 or 75. It's very close to three quarters sold out. So if you would like more information or if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on any of our social media channels. We're everywhere at Outlander Pod. And for specifically for information about this trip and seeing the itineraries and the price, everything. Summer, where do they go?
They can go to www.podabroad.com.
Yep, because we're two pod broads or something like that, but going abroad.
And we're going abroad.
Exactly. So that's it. I think we are ready to go forward.
All right. We will now move on to our read-along.
Chapter 57, Promised Land. Lisa T. starts us off with, the title Promised Land is from the Bible. The Israelites wandered or voyaged, searching for the land God promised them. They did finally find it. Claire and Jamie have been searching for young Ian, a prodigal son, and the mystery of the treasure. It seems they may find answers in their promised land, as promised by Jared, Jamaica. They arrive at Kingston Harbor, and there is the porpoise. Jamie's not liking this. The sight of it makes them both nervous.
I wonder why.
I don't know. No reason at all. Martina P. writes, Claire notices Jamie's absent-mindedness while his gaze lingers on the porpoise, and it makes me wonder if his thoughts drifted to William, whose existence is still unknown to Claire at this point. I did not consider that, actually.
Good point, though.
Claire tells Jamie they had to come there to first drop off the new governor, a man named Gray. Jamie has a renewed interest, and yes, that Gray. I mean, Grange. Lord John is a friend, he tells Claire. This doesn't surprise her. Jamie, like, picks up friends like a magnet picks up metal shavings. I mean, come on. But it does surprise her that they'd met in Ardsmuir. Then, quote, oh, hold on, my cat's climbing on my shoulder with her claws. Oh, God, baby, come on. You have to, like, okay, get settled so I can continue. Come on, babies. Can you lay down, baby? Come on. No, come see me. You gotta lay down. I know. Come here. I'll give you loves. Come here. I know. Come here. I'll give you loves. There you go. Is that better? Hi, baby.
I love you.
I do. I know the baby.
The birds. Hi. I love you.
They've had no love tonight.
Aww.
My babies are like, where's mom? I don't know. She's here, but she's not touching us. There you go. Thank you, baby girl. Good girl. Okay. But it does surprise her that they met at Ard's Mirror. And then, quote, friends are where you find them. Let us hope this Mrs. Abernathy proves to be one.
Unquote. Oh, if only they knew.
Oh, if only they knew. Ishmael is now dressed, and he tells them he'll be leaving. He wants to be put ashore there. And he points out, like right where they are at, basically. For payment, he wants the one-armed slave. He says he's no good to you anyway. Fergus tells Temeraire that Ishmael wants to take him with him. And he asks him if he wants to go. Now, this is something the slave, or the man, is probably, since his captivity, definitely not used to having, like, to even... Probably kind of freaks him out to have to make a choice because he's like, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do with this.
Right. What do you mean, what do I want?
Exactly.
Not about me. But it is. Now it is.
Well, and even beyond that, he's probably not used to the idea of white people giving him choices for things.
Exactly. Exactly. And
it may kind of freak him out a little bit because he doesn't necessarily know if it's a trick, if he's really understanding things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is it, can I trust that you're even asking me this? Ishmael says something in a foreign tongue. In response, Temeraire, quote, let out a gasp, fell to his knees, and pressed his forehead to the deck at Ishmael's feet, unquote. There's a story there, but we don't find out now, at least. And then Ishmael says, he be going with me. Well then, that was quick. Okay then. So they took them to the shore, left them with provisions and a knife each. No idea where they will go, but they think they might have gone to join the other escaped slaves in the mountains. Eileen P. writes, in an exchange about the Maroons, Lawrence says, quote, there are Maroons wherever there are slaves, my friend. There are always men who prefer to take the chance of dying like animals rather than live as a captive, unquote. Jamie reacts to this by turning his head sharply to look at Lawrence, but says nothing. Perhaps Jamie is thinking of his time in the cave and then in Ardsmuir. In both places, Jamie was living as an animal. However, while in the cave, Jamie was living, not dying, whereas being a captive in the prison was a slow death for the prisoners. Jamie was just able to adapt and cope with both situations. I think that Lawrence is suggesting that if the Maroons are not living within civilized society, they are somehow living as animals. This is Lawrence's definition of civilized and could very well conflict with what the Maroons believe is civilized. Joby writes, he turns to Stan sharply. Is that in surprise, shock, or does he feel there is an implied critique of his choice to live away from people? Even at the expense of his freedom. Now, we don't know, and that is perhaps a point. We all make choices others don't and can't understand. Erica B. writes, Ishmael and Temeraire disembark the ship in a very wild-looking spot on the island, which seems odd as it seemed so abrupt to Claire and Jamie. Ishmael has got a plan of some sort, it seems. I wish we got more story with them before this moment, because as it stands, and we know how herself is with the characters, we are left wondering how they will play into the rest of the book. They get to Jared's sugar plantation, Blue Mountain House. They were expected. The overseer and his wife welcome them, and Claire and Marsali were taken to get refreshed. Jamie and Fergus went to direct the partial unloading of the cargo. Claire is still acquiring her land legs, and she was a little wobbly on her feet. And as she is getting ready before she goes and takes a nap, there is even an actual bathtub. Joby writes, Blue Mountain House, surely a business opportunity for an Outlander fan, is luxury after the ship and Claire's objections to slavery are submerged beneath hot water. Very interesting. Encountering slavery in everyday life is something she will have to find her way through going forward. Potentially, even if they go back to Britain one day, it wasn't until 1807 that the slave trading was abolished, and not until 1837 that slavery, with some exceptions, was outlawed in the British Empire. She will be using products produced by slave, as we have to navigate this today with sweatshops, etc. In Europe, it is less obvious, but it's still there.
I think one of the other things is the slavery that was happening in the UK at that point in time was still very different from what was happening in America. And that's not to say it was better in any way, but it was more towards things like house slaves, that sort of thing. They weren't being quite as horrifically worked to death. But I also think, you know, Claire is very uncomfortable with it. But I think some of the things from her upbringing make her able to deal with it a little bit more. You know, she talks about growing up out in Egypt while her uncle was doing digs out there. And we know that while they did not have slave labour, they certainly made use of, in most of those digs, having a lot of the locals doing almost everything for them as far as manual labour, taking care of them, that kind of a thing. So while it's not something she's comfortable with when it's someone who's outright a slave, she's definitely, I think, got an edge to her where she can kind of deal with other people taking care of her needs for her, even if it's not her ideal.
I could agree with that because she never comes to terms with it as far as accepts it and I should say she never approves it. Mm-hmm. She has to accept it, not in a form of approval, but the fact that it exists. And she, as was in the last chapter, which was aired before this episode, or last set of chapters, her time at the slave market, homegirl finds out really quickly what happens when she opens her mouth to try and protect someone. That does not make it much better. As a matter of fact, it could make it a lot worse. So then after her real bathtub experience, she slept till dinner. And when she wakes up, Jamie was next to her. He doesn't want to wait. He wants to, quote, take our time next time. Because she's like, this is a bed. This is our first time in a bed in how many months? We're gonna take our time. He's like, I agree, but we'll take our time next time. No. So the description of the room, their surroundings, the lagoon, the air, the breeze, the smells, the weather. Oh my gosh. Jamie's there too. But forget Jamie and Claire. I wanted to be in that room. I wanted to have like a veranda that overlooked a lagoon. Oh my gosh. It was just painted so gorgeously.
Yeah, it definitely does sound like it would be heaven after not just being on shipboard for so long and dealing with plague and all of that, but then,
yeah,
you know, dealing with all of the sickness and everything afterwards.
And see, this is from someone whose idea of a vacation, I mean, I appreciate beautiful weather. I'm not necessarily, and I appreciate island tropical beauty, but if money is no object and time is no object, well, I could go as long as I wanted or short a trip as I wanted. No joke. I would go to somewhere like Scotland. Obviously, I'm biased, but I would go in the middle of like, I mean, I don't want to be where it's I'm not going to travel when it's unsafe, like in a blizzard or something, but I would spend winter in Scotland. And I know that sounds weird, or spring in Scotland. That is probably what not a lot of people would do. But see, I don't want to go necessarily climbing mountains in the snow. That's not what I'm saying. But I like it when it's overcast. I can appreciate the sun. I appreciate good weather and beautiful areas. But in the middle of summer, in the middle of winter, I don't care. I'd rather be somewhere that is not necessarily, you know, drizzly, but I love the rain. I like overcast with occasional sky. And so when you actually get sun and it's not blistering outside, you appreciate it. I know not just Scotland, it's all of Europe in my experience. I had the experience in Germany and Switzerland and in Scotland. When the sun comes out and it's like 65 or 70 degrees, the shorts and tank tops come on and people are laying out.
Oh, yeah.
So because they appreciate it. They appreciate it because they don't have. And it's completely different. It's not fair to compare. I realize that. I come from California where it's like, oh, my God. It was 106 on Monday in my car. Now, no. Outside it was like 96. But my point is, no, it's just not. I'm not meant for that. So anyway, I can appreciate beauty. And I even want to spend time in some more, you know, tropical times from one time to another. But I don't want to, like, go lay on the beach. That's not my thing. I hate the heat. But whatever. Claire goes to town slowly. When she comes up for air, she asks him what he was saying the time she was downtown. And he says, the rosary. So she goes lower. Or I guess she goes downtown. Or no, I think to his belly or something like that. And she gives him a zerbert on his belly. Quote, he convulsed and, taken by surprise, emitted a noise that could only be described as a giggle. Unquote. Lisa T. writes, earlier in the chapter, Jamie spoke of his friendship with John, which, of course, brings Willie to mind. Now, Claire's Zerbert, whatever, is a reminder of Bree.
Yeah, and I think it's a sign of how they've gotten back to being pretty comfortable with each other after being, like, relative strangers. It's one thing to just, you know, be intimate, but when you can kind of goof around and be playful about it. I think that's a different level of intimacy entirely. And I think that's as good a sign as any that Claire is starting to feel better. You know, she's acting like a little bit of a goofball, which she does sometimes, but only around people she's very comfortable with and only when she's, you know, relaxed and okay. And she feels like, okay, now I'm safe. Now I'm clean. Now everything's going to be okay. So I can be a dork with Jamie.
Exactly. So he doesn't want her to do that little Zerbert thing. If she insists, he says, please do it a little lower. There you go, Jamie. Now it's his turn. When he turns her over and does slow stuff to her, she starts the rosary. And then Diana tells us they were late to Zumber. Lisa T. writes, this reminds me of an equally hilarious scene in Outlander. Quote, if you'll not let me be spiritual about it, you'll have to put up with my baser nature. I'm going to be a beast. He bit my neck. Do you want me to be a horse, a bear, or a dog? A hedgehog, she replies. Over supper, Jamie asks about Mrs. Abernathy of Rose Hall. The overseer and his wife are familiar with her. Mrs. MacGyver says she may not have remembered her, except that a minister at New Grace Kirk was asking after Mrs. Abernathy. It was Archie Campbell. Do-do-do. Mrs. Abernathy had written to the Reverend because he was a great scholar. There were things that people say about Abernathy. She lives alone. She's overfond of the company of her men slaves. Quote, but there was talk when her husband died. Unquote. Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
So 5 years before, Barnabas Abernathy had come from Scotland and purchased Rose Hall. 2 years, so 3 years later, 2 years before, and 2 years before Claire came back, he married a woman no one knew, bringing her home from a trip to Guadeloupe. 6 months later, he was dead. There was gossip that it was poison, and the doctor said so, that he believed it was poison. But the Reverend didn't go see Abernathy. His sister had disappeared. He had placed her somewhere where she'd be cared for and watched, but her caretaker had left her on the veranda one day when she went to see her sister who was in childbirth. When she got back, the Reverend's sister was gone. This is also the first we learn of the new governor's reception later that week. He asks, Jamie asks Claire to accompany him, and he has even planned her outfit of violet silk and is cooking up something else as well. Eileen P. writes, yay, they've reached Jamaica, and Jamie finds out his friend, Lord John Grey, is the new governor. This will be a long-awaited reunion, and with that reunion comes a sense that everything will be okay. Lord John can protect Jamie from the porpoise and help him find Ian, plus we can get some news about Jamie Jr. I mean, Willie.
Now, one of the things I like about this, you know, they've got the da-da-da moment where, you know, it turns out that it's the Reverend Campbell and, you know, and here's John Grey and all of this. And I think for a lot of people, their reaction is like, oh, what a surprise running into these people. But for anyone who's ever grown up in Scotland, and especially for people who've moved away from Scotland to somewhere else, this is not remotely surprising because you just sort of meet other Scottish people. And it's not unusual, especially travelling around within Scotland, to meet people that you have some kind of a connection to, even if it's just like a friend of a friend. You meet people in places you would not expect. And so those parts aren't always as surprising for me. And it kind of seems like, of course they're going to run into that person who they met in a brothel earlier or something like that.
I mean, that's, now that you said that, I know we coined Grange after Summer's mispronunciation for all coincidences everywhere from that point on forward in the books. But that, I mean, definitely it's coincident. A lot of coincidences, which are like, oh, interesting. But I'm glad you said that because that kind of goes, lends some extra textual, does that make sense?
Yes.
From outside of the book, support. That this is kind of or almost like a tongue-in-cheek nod to how it is in Scotland as you're expressing it.
Well, I read somewhere that was something Dickens was criticized of a lot in his writing, that there were these ridiculous coincidences and people running into each other halfway around the globe or wherever from where they originally encountered each other. But I mean, I remember one time we traveled from where we live in Boise to Portland to go to a dance workshop, and one of the teachers happened to be from Scotland, and she was teaching this dance with a specific name, and Arlen was like, huh, there was a house right around the corner from where I grew up with this same name. Isn't that weird? And so we did the dance, and like after the class later on in the day, we sat down and chatted with her, and I think it turned out it was her parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it transpired that she taught at the high school that Arlen went to in Glasgow, and and she had taught his sisters. So we're halfway around the world, and we ran into this woman who literally had lived like a block away from him and knew his family. And so sometimes that kind of stuff happens and you just don't have any explanation.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit more, this is not so like big, huge quinky dink, although it's still a huge coincidence. I just said it wasn't. It's still a coincidence, a great coincidence, but not as much as like halfway across the world. I saw this person I haven't seen in 10 years. No, that's a huge coincidence. We were on, speaking of university and choir, just got to go back. We're on a choir tour. We're at 6 weeks. Was it 6 weeks or was it 2 weeks? I think it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks in Europe. 6 weeks, a bit long for a choir tour. And we were going through Italy, Switzerland, and France. Different, you know, just different places. And many people from the choir, it was a men's choir. Many people decided to stay on, right? Like maybe it was their first trip to Europe or they didn't go very often. So they went with the choir and then just adjusted their return date like a week or two later. So, you know, have fun and stay with family or whatever. So that's what my friend and I did. We had stayed, I think, 2 weeks later. So we were gone a full month. So we went over there. And then I think the tour ended in Milan. So we were all done and we got a train. We went up to Switzerland to make our way up to Switzerland and then Germany and then whatever. So we're in, Switzerland to Vienna. So we're in Vienna and we're in the main drag downtown near Stefan's Dome and all these places, whatever, like a huge pedestrian zone. And we were at this like, you know, pretty, I don't know if it's popular, like, I don't even remember the name. I don't know if it's a popular place as far as like a happening joint, but it was very touristy. And it was in June. So of course, every single place had the outdoor cafe, right? Everybody has all their stuff outside. And we ate, it was at a little pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
And we were eating outside. If we had been indoors, there we wouldn't have seen him. So we're outside eating. And like, I look up and this is like, mind you, like almost a week after the choir has like broken up and everyone's gone home or not. And I look up and there's this dude that I'm like, wait, is that so? And I forget his name. Like, is that so-and-so? And I'm like, ask my friend, is that so-and-so? And she's like, oh my gosh, it is. And so we like waved him down. It was a guy from our choir. We had all been in Europe together. So you can't say that's necessarily a huge coincidence. But the fact that number one, he stayed on. Number two, that he ended up on a different day. I mean, I don't know. We don't know when he arrived, but likely not the same day we did. But that he was, and not just that, but he was downtown and walked by the exact same place and we happened to be eating outside. So it's obviously not like Jamie and Claire coincidence stuff, like Lord John Grey stuff. But man, that was kind of wackadoo. That was really cool. It was really cool. Oh my gosh. But I digress again. So that is chapter 57. Thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @outlanderpod.